this, not the Lord, not God's voice. The Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Verse 4, so being sent out of the Holy, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now you go, man, Pastor, where are you going with this? What are you looking at with this? How are we going to break this down? Well, my heart says that the Holy Spirit gives us a plan to follow that plan. And in that plan that he has given us, he shows us how to reach out to other people, shows us how to care for other people, shows us how to love other people. It gives us a responsibility that we need to follow after. Actually, it tells us that there are certain facts about the Holy Spirit that would be identified in our life if we let that Holy Spirit work in our life. Some people look at it differently, and I get that. And I'm not trying to persuade you on how to look at the Holy Spirit or how to leave this part off or how to acknowledge that part. The Holy Spirit is very similar to the blueprints of a building. If you try to build a house, and there are actual men that can do this, and it is amazing to me, they can take their mindset and they know the slab's got to be this big. They know where to, just with their measuring tape, they can go in and, man, they can lay out a bathroom. They can lay out a kitchen, and just with their yardstick, they can go in and they can tell you where the walls are going to be, and they can tell you how high it's going to be. And just in their own mindset, they can tell you what kind of roof they're going to put on it, what kind of door they're going to put in it. They can actually take off and they can build a house with no problem. But if you were to push them a little bit and say, okay, now we're going to go to a three-story building and it's got 180 rooms in it, and that, you know, okay, hold on, we need a blueprint. You know, let's back off. And I have had the wonderful privilege in my life of building two homes and totally repairing one at the same time. Even the home that we repaired, we put together a blueprint so we would know the foundation work of where it was going to go, where it's going to turn out. You need a blueprint. You got to have a design. You got to have a direction to go. There are people that are walking through this Christian life today, and they don't know how to fulfill the purpose that God has for them. They don't have an ideal of what it's going to come out. They're just kind of going through this life casual, like que sera, sera, and whatever happens, happens. And the bad part about that, I hope you hear me with this, the bad part about that is that when something bad happens or a tragedy happens, it's very easy for you to turn your attention and start blaming God instead of following through with God. Whereas if you were following the blueprints, you could say, okay, this isn't nothing. We're just adjusting a wall. This isn't nothing. We're just moving a door. This isn't nothing. We're just replacing a window. But if you don't have the blueprints of the Holy Spirit in this Christian walk, you will fall apart when the trials and trouble comes your way. You need that Holy Spirit in your life. He is the blueprint of your Christian walk. Here's one of the things that the Holy Spirit constantly reminds us. As a Christian, this would be evident in your life. We have an unfinished task ahead of us. We're not through with this project yet. Yes, the Lord ascended into heaven. Yes, he's at the right hand of the throne of God. Yes, he's interceding for us day in, day out. Yes, he sent us the Holy Spirit, but that Holy Spirit was sent to us to do a work for the kingdom, not to just put up on the shelf and say, there's another book on the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, I know about the Holy Spirit. It's found in the fifth book of the New Testament, whatever that's called to you, the fifth book of the New Testament. It's called the Acts of the Apostle, the Acts of the Disciples, the Acts of the Church, whatever it may be. In verse number 2 of chapter 13, he says, let's pull these guys apart to do the work of which they've been called to do. Let's separate these guys out so that they can actually do what Jesus has appointed them to get after and do. I would like for you to really hear me today, okay? One of the deceptions that the enemy has put into so many Christians' minds is they think that they can divide the Holy Scripture, the Word of God, into saying, well, this is meant for them, but not meant for me. I want to tell you, when God wrote the Word, he wrote it for you. You can put your name on the front of that Bible. And I think in most every Bible that you buy, even still today, on like the third page, maybe the fourth page, inside the very beginning of that book, the front of it says, this book belongs to who? Put your name on that. Write your name in there. That's your book. That's your Bible. And you have the right to read every word in it. You have the right to study every word in it. You have the right to make that book yours. There's been called out for you an appointment. And if we'll observe that Holy Spirit and we begin to do the work that he wants us to do, the first thing that he wants you to do is to tell everybody about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants you to tell every person everywhere. Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke 19 that he came for this very purpose, to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why Jesus came to this earth. If he came to seek and to save everybody that's lost, then where's he at today? He's not walking around speaking to all the lost people. No, he should be in your heart as a Christian. And you would say, yes, I am a Christian. He's in my heart. That's where he lives. Then you have a responsibility that Holy Spirit ought to be tugging inside of you. You need to be telling somebody else about the Jesus that's inside of your heart. Jesus worked with us. He worked with it. But, you know, Jesus didn't just lean on single individual people. And I know that there are people saying, well, my ministry or my call of God is to talk to one-on-one. Others say, no, my ministry is to talk to big crowds. God just hasn't opened the door for me to talk to big crowds yet. Haven't gone. Maybe why I got it. I'm not going down that route. Just listen to me. I could put a maybe in there all day long. You focus on God. Focus on God. But it is your responsibility to allow that Holy Spirit to know that you can minister one-on-one or you can minister a crowd. It didn't matter to Jesus. He'd pull them apart little by little. He saw Zacchaeus up in the tree and said, come on down, bud. We're going to your house to eat. Can you imagine Zacchaeus calling his wife? Send a message to my wife. Quick, get a runner. Quick, quick, quick. Tell her, come on, we're bringing guests home. Go get the... Can you imagine when he walked in the house? What did his wife say? What is it this time? Who'd you bring home this time? I brought the Lord with me. Can you imagine her face? And I'm serving on paper plates. No, I'm just whichever way it goes. He could go one-on-one. Jesus could go one-on-one, no problem. But he could also do a crowd. He could sit on top of the mountain and feed 5,000 people without any problem. It didn't matter. That's our example today. We ought to be able to tell this story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ought to be able to tell about this life of Jesus Christ no matter what. Our task is to tell every person. We have an unfinished task. This world is still full of people that don't know about Jesus. They heard about Jesus, and I it's sad to say, but there's a lot of people today that have heard about Jesus in a very negative way. They've heard about the church in a negative way. I know people that have literally told their children, don't you ever go to that church. It's a cult. Don't go in there. Don't gather with them people. Don't get trapped in those people. Don't get lost with those people. But somebody needs to tell the truth. Somebody needs to know and to help them to understand. It's our responsibility to tell every person. We have a task to love every person. This world today is so filled with hatred. I don't know if it hurts y'all, but it breaks my heart to see the hatred that's in this world. How people hate more than they love. And I know it's been a big promotion. And if I'm not careful here, I could jump off into the world news. And it doesn't take long to see all the hatred that's in the world. Even when tragedy strikes, that should bring out a lot of love from the people, and it does. It brings out a tremendous amount of care, compassion, and concern. I see that. I get that. But if you could also look deeper and you can see the hate when somebody is supposed to be sharing, I have great compassion for this, but I truly hate that. Where's the difference of this? We have a task, and that is to love people. As a matter of fact, Jesus wrote it this way in John chapter 13. He said, love should be our badge. Love should be this outward appearance. This is what Jesus said in John 13, verse 35. He said, by this all will know that you are my disciples. By this is how everybody's going to know that you're God's disciple. Everybody's going to know that you are the Lord's disciple if you have love one for another. True love for one another. Sincere love one for another. Compassionate love one for another. The world has so tainted this word that we call love, it's messed everybody's mindset up to where we got to be so careful about how we show love to one another. But it is our badge. It is what we wear as Christians. Love in God's people, love in your heart, love throughout your life will draw other men and women to Jesus. That's the task. Now, you go, Pastor, you kind of got offline here. No, I haven't. I'm building you up. Think about this. Where do you get that love from? How do you find that love? How do you know that that love is sincere inside of you? Friends, it only comes through the Holy Spirit. You can't get it any other way. You cannot generate heavenly love on your own mindset. You cannot generate heavenly love through a world concept. You cannot generate heavenly love off of your own characteristics. It has to be something deep down inside of you. It has to be something that'll protect you and guard you. And that, my friend, is the Holy Spirit. It's the mission that makes the difference. This Holy Spirit has a plan in your life. It wasn't, the Holy Spirit wasn't sent to separate the church. The Holy Spirit was sent to unite the church. We should be standing together in unity as believers of Christ, children of the great, almighty, one true God. We ought to be standing together in that wholeness and completeness, doing this task, telling everybody about the gospel, loving everybody according to what the Lord has given us. You know, there's a missionary that was coming through our church, and he told of this story, and I wished I had all of the details to it, but I don't. I apologize for that, but there was some little part of it that really stuck with me. This missionary in the country where he's from, he established a medical supply place. And so he had medical doctors that would come on a mission leave to this place, and nurses that would come. Sometimes it would be eye doctors. Sometimes it'd be heart specialists. And, you know, they would just come and minister to him. And not to him, but to the people in that surrounding area. And then he had pharmacies that stepped up and actually supplied medicine that was needed for all this. And he was so surprised by it. He had everything and every way to meet it. And he made everything just point blank. Everything was strict. He tried to abide by the codes. He ran, you know, he wanted it set in order. But he noticed one day that when people would come walking down the trail, and he had talked to them once before and actually even ministered to them before, but he noticed that they'd walk right on by his clinic and go on down the road another 5 miles to another clinic that was down the road. And he kept seeing the people come by and come by and come by. And he finally saw one that his friend that he'd ministered in 2 times past, and he stopped him and called him over and said, "Hey, my friend. He said, "Tell me why you don't no longer stop at my clinic, but I believe you are going 5 miles down the road to another clinic." And he said, "Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir." He said, "Well, what's the difference?" And that local man looked up at him and said, "Your medicine is the same, but the hands are different." And it just broke this missionary's heart. He was so set on rules and regulations and mandatory expectations that he no longer touched the people or no longer loved the people, no longer really cared for the people. And these local individuals would literally walk another, and I know that's nothing for them, I get that, but just put it in reality of our life. When was the last time you walked 5 miles to get aspirin? Okay? These guys would walk by. Why? Because the hands were different. You know, it's got to be hands-on. If we're really going to show the love, think about Jesus. When he laid his hands on people, they were healed. When he touched people, they were healed. But we don't have the hands of Jesus. We should. How do we get the hands of Jesus? It's the plan of the Holy Spirit to move inside of your life and to cause your life to be more like Jesus's, so that you can extend your hand and supply the need that man itself cannot supply. It is the plan of the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. Let me tell you this. Not only do we have an unfinished task, but friends, we have an unchanging message. And we need to get back to that basic again. The message is unchangeable. In verse number 5, and I'm going to skip a couple here, but I'm going to all the way down to the end of my text today. Look at verse number 5. And I love this part because once they were prayed for, once they laid hands on them and sent them out by the Holy Spirit, they preached the word of God. They preached the word of God. Now, they didn't have the 66 books of what we call the Bible to go out and preach the word of God. They had prayer, they had fasting, and they heard what God spoke to them, and they proclaimed it from the very end that they could. It's time for us to understand that the believer's message is changeless. And I know today so many people say, man, there's so many different messages that are out there. There are. Please be careful what you're listening to. The method of getting this message out can change. The method is so dynamic and so broad span. We want to preach to every person. Get it out. Tell everybody. Love everybody. But yet this one message is what makes more difference than anything else. It's an eternal message. The same message that was preached is being preached and will continue to be preached. The amazing thing about it, and we've been studying a little bit about end time events, been researching that a little bit, and I need y'all's help. Don't let me get off on a bunny trail right here, but I'm just going to say it real quickly, okay? And the day when the rapture takes place, and I know that a lot of people disagree with times and what's going to be happening, but friends, I think we all agree that one day the church will be removed from this earth. Whenever is whenever, we'll get into deeper subject of that if you want to come sit in a study. One day it's all going to be moved. When that church is removed out of this earth, that grace is following with it. That grace is going with it too. Once that grace is gone out of the earth, that's it. But you know what? The message of the gospel is still going to be preached. There's still going to be people left behind that are still going to preach this gospel. The eternal message, even though it was preached way back in those days, that message of God to preach the word of God is still relevant to us today. We may be living in a constant changing world. You know as well as I do that what was in 2 weeks ago is already out this week. You can't buy a computer on the shelf today that's in date or up to date. Every one of them's out of date. Everything is changing so fast. And if you think yesterday's bad news was bad, just turn the news on again today and you'll hear the bad news of today. It's all out there. But the scripture, the truth, the word of God, it's relevant for today. God's word is still true. It's still here. I shared this with somebody even this week, and I want to share it with you again. Here it is, Matthew chapter 24:25. And if you want a good chapter in your Bible to go study about the last days, just go study Matthew 24. Matthew 24:35 says this, heaven and earth will pass away. All of that's going to change, friend. But my words will by no means pass away. My words will by no means pass away. Don't forget the word of God. Don't try to reach the lost off of a man-made principle or a man-made method. You reach the lost individual by the holy word of God. Preach the word of God. Get back to the basics. Where's the Bible? And it's so amazing to me. And when I'm really lost in this these days, back to the basics. Did you know at one time in the late 1800s, it's the mid 1800s. I'm seeing this video that I just recently watched. Mid 1800s, the number one song around the world. So wherever the travelers were traveling, and it didn't matter if they were political, it didn't matter if they were entrepreneurs, philanthropists, it didn't matter if they had a whole lot of money, it didn't matter if they were sent by the government. It didn't matter if they were ministers, if they were preachers. As they traveled around the world in the late 1800s, in the mid to the late 1800s, one song they took with them. I thought this was so amazing. Even political people, governments of major countries, took one song with them around the world. You know what that one song was? Jesus Loves Me. Jesus Loves Me. Number one song around the world. You know what's sad today? I'm not sure how many children churches can sing. Children churches can sing Jesus Loves Me. Why? It's time that we get back to the basics and we start telling the kids again, Jesus loves me because the Bible tells me so. Do we believe in the Bible that way? Listen, the Holy Spirit has a plan in your life, and that plan is to connect with you that the message that saved you is an unchanging message. It's a message that's relevant for today. It's also an effective message. Not only is it an eternal message, but it's an effective message. It's relevant for you today. It will affect your life. It's going to affect everything, and I can't wait to tell you about it. And my next verse comes from Romans. But I think maybe we'll take a minute and take some word of prayer from here. Are you ladies ready for that? This is a good place for me to quit and to stop for just a minute.